welcome back to the Halfway There podcast.
Brian, how we doing?
Doing fine. Doing awesome this day.
Well, we got our review episode here today, and we got some heads blocking us from looking at each other because we got Gracie Ring and Jeremy Blount on today. Is it not Blount?
No, it's Blunt.
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 Blount. Blunt. Maybe I didn't want to say the word blunt on the podcast, dude. I mean, I guess it is your last name, so yeah. But we're glad they're here. They're going to review this series with us on Covenants. So, Jeremy, Gracie, how are you guys doing today?
Doing pretty good.
We're doing good today.
Good. We're glad you're here and glad to talk about the series with you guys. So, who wants to kick off with some thoughts on the series or some things that they took away? Anybody want to? All right, Gracie gets the nod. Gracie, tell us a little bit about your favorite part about this Covenant series or one thing that you found interesting.
I didn't realize actually how many there were. Like, I understood that there was always, like, promises being made to people, but then to actually, like, see them all explained and laid out just made me realize how many there were.
Yeah, you know, and that was kind of one of the things we wanted to help you guys take away is the fact that every time you open your Bible, you're reading in a covenant, right? And so it's not something that we talk a lot about, but I think it's really important. I mean, Brian, did you, as far as hearing what Gracie says and that, hey, we never realized how many there were. I mean, is that something that you realized beforehand or is that something you learned in the series too?
Well, during studying and stuff like that, you know, you could even add more to this. But I was thinking at the very beginning, I'm like, oh yeah, there's going to be maybe three, but some were added, you know, some I thought maybe were promises, but they are actually covenants. So, you know, I kind of learned a little bit this with them on this. So I enjoyed it. Good. I learned a lot of new stuff, a lot of things that I didn't know that, you know, was in the culture that, you know, was through the covenant. So it was great.
Great. Well, Jeremy, what about you, man? What's one thing that you feel like you took away or learned from this series?
I feel like one of the most important things I learned is that no matter where you are in the Bible, there's always a covenant present, no matter what. If you're in the start of the Bible, there's the covenant with Adam, or if you're in the New Testament, there's the new covenant. No matter where you're at in the Bible, you're always reading from a covenant. And I didn't know that before.
Yeah, I mean, what in that do you think was, obviously it was something you learned. Does it change the way that you read your Bible at all? Or do you feel like it's just a neat thing to know, hey, the covenants are here?
It doesn't really change the way I read the Bible, but it changes the way that I view what's in the chapter or the book that you're reading from, because things will just start to click and you'll start to understand why people are doing what they're doing in the book.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, that's definitely a good reminder to all of us that, like, hey, these pieces connect, right? Like, these are the dots that connect across scripture. And it's something that gives us kind of clarity for what scripture says. So for either of you guys, tell us a little bit about, was there a covenant that you found easiest to grasp? And then maybe a covenant that you found more difficult to grasp? They're thinking on it. I don't know.
They're thinking at it.
Brian, what about you? What do you think was, like, if you were to answer this question from both a leader and a student perspective, what do you think was the one that was maybe the easiest for you to grasp and one that was maybe a little more difficult?
Passover, Jesus, at the table.
Yeah, I mean, that connection, or is that like the ones that you were trying to, hey, this now makes sense?
Just that one, I guess, means so much to me because I've accepted Christ. Yeah. And that's what that was all about, is him coming to this earth, dying for our sins. And it just touches me more on that one.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Jeremy, Gracie, anybody ready to go?
I feel like the easiest covenant for me to get a grasp on is the one with Noah, because it's really just, yeah, I won't flood the earth again. I promised you that I won't ever do that again. And there was the rainbow in the sky.
Yeah. And that covenant is really involved with, like, not destroying the earth, obviously through floods. But I think too, that's God promising to preserve the earth regardless of what happens. Right. So, like, even as sin increases, God's still going to be faithful. And I think that's what's super interesting. One, I'm glad you were able to remember, right? We even had a couple weeks ago that rainbow in the sky that was pretty prevalent. That even was a reminder to us, which I think was a cool part of this, you know, series, that we got to experience some of those signs, you know, the Lord's Supper and baptism, those kind of different things, to actually see and apply what we've been learning. So yeah, I think that was pretty cool.
What about you, Gracie? Have you thought of one yet? I know he may have took the one that you were talking about, or just build off of that.
I've thought of a different one. David. Like, the promise of an eternal kingdom was something I had always heard about, you know, throughout little kids' church and all that stuff. It's like, yeah, you had King David and that his kingdom, his line would be around forever. And so it was just something that, like, I was familiar with. And I knew of the promise, and then always hearing the genealogy and all that, and knowing that Jesus came from David, was just something I was already really familiar with.
It's really neat to bring up David, because David's not, I mean, that was one of the covenants that when Brian and I were talking, that was one of those where he's like, is this really a covenant? And then we kind of got into it, and yeah, it was absolutely a covenant. It's a part of the promise of, you know, of God and all of that.
Wasn't that the covenant that made Jesus king?
Yes. Jesus fulfilled that as he became or sat on the throne. That was what Jesus fulfilled. And we see that through Jeremiah. We see that through Isaiah and all of that. So good question, Jeremy.
Kind of like a prophecy and a covenant together.
Yes. Well, and the covenants are prophetic because they all point to the new covenant, right?
We
kind of learned about that this last week, and able to say, like, he comes from the line of Jesse, you know, and Gracie's looking up the genealogy right now. I can see, to kind of go back and look through that. But yeah, like you said, it's a prophecy, but the covenants all point to the new covenant that's fulfilled in Jesus. So all the covenants have prophetic imagery in it.
You know, it's another thing too, to read through all these and to see that God wants a relationship with his people.
Yeah.
And, you know, over and over, he's just trying to get closer to us through these. So that's what's such an amazing fact about these, is it goes all the way down to the last one with Jesus, that he wants that relationship. He wants that closeness with the people that he created.
Yeah, absolutely. So in light of this series, right, how does it make, obviously there's series in scriptures that we learn that make a significant impact in the way that we live, right? Like when we talked through the fear of series, it was like, hey, we really want to encourage you guys not to live in anxiety, because the character of God answers that. But with this series, this is more of like historical, practical, biblical knowledge. So how might another student apply this series to their life?
Just think about how it may affect you, or how could it affect someone that may not be a Christian by reading this?
I just struggled to think of how does this bit of scripture affect people who aren't me? Because when I'm reading scripture, I always think, man, that affects me. But I never think, how does this affect, you know, not me?
Mm. That actually is a really interesting thought. Gracie, share yours.
I feel like something that kind of I saw throughout all of these is that there was always another promise. Mm. There was always something else. It's like, he made the first one, we messed it up, he made another one. We messed it up, he made another one. And he just kept going. There was always more chances with something just a little bit different that fit the people he was working with. And so when you look at those repeated promises, those constant second chances, third, fourth, and so forth and so on, it's like you can take that and be like, I can mess up, and if I'm truly sorry and I realize I messed up, I'll get another chance. Like, I won't just be left behind and just moved on from if I mess this up.
Yeah.
However, if you think about what she said there, you realize that we are always the ones messing up, and it's never God messed up or God made a mistake in the covenant. It's always we didn't follow what he said to us, or, you know, we broke the promise, or we ate the fruit, or the just whatever was on the tree. It's always we messed up, and it's always, here, I love you, I'll give you another chance.
Yeah, that is a great point, actually.
And if you think about it, all the ones that he had these covenants with were broken people.
Yeah.
None of them were
except
perfect.
For Jesus.
Well, that's, yes, I better take that back. Yes.
Five out of six.
But I was thinking about the ones before, you know, him making these. They were broken people, you know, and God used these people in a covenant with him to affect many others. And I think that's just so cool how he did that.
Yeah, to build off of your and Jeremy's point in terms of, you know, seeing that these are, I mean, it really was humanity's fault, right? And that's part of the reason why I gave the memory statement that covenants are rooted in the faithfulness of God, is because it's not about, people will never be faithful enough, right? But God's faithful enough. And I think that's a very practical statement for anyone. Like, if they were to just pick on this podcast and listen, like, understanding, like, people will never be faithful enough. People will always fail, but God never fails. I really think that's a really neat takeaway. So thanks for sharing that, Jeremy.
Because there's a reason that the earth was flooded, because no one will ever be perfect unless, you know, it's time for the Messiah to come back, and that will be the only ever perfect person again.
Yeah, I love that. Good points. That's very mature and very recognizing the patterns in a great way. So Gracie, what about you? What do you think would be like maybe the takeaway for somebody else from this series? Like, obviously everybody gets their own takeaway, but what would be like the practical thing?
All the people who have covenants with are broken.
Well, let me go back to that. Since you mentioned that, we tried to break him. Satan tried to break him, but he was not broken. Is that not amazing? Yes, that's right. All the other people were already broken, where we and the Satan tried to break him.
Yeah. Was Adam already broken?
That's a good question. Jeremy asked, was Adam already broken?
Ooh, that's a deep question.
Before I or Brian answers it, what would one of your answers be?
Well, my thought is that Adam had already sinned. It's not his fault that he ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, but it was his issue that he didn't make sure his wife didn't do that, because it's his responsibility to keep track of her as it is hers to keep up with him. So is he really the first sinner, or is he just the second sinner?
Good question. What's Gracie? Gracie, you got any thoughts?
Wait, hang on though. You said, was he the first sinner or the second sinner? Are you talking about between Adam and Eve?
Between Adam and Eve.
What was there a sin before that? And me and Nick's talked about this. What was the first sin?
It could have been Lucifer, because he would have had to have fallen and sinned from God to then be there to tempt Eve.
Good thoughts. I mean, the first sin technically. So sin is a, in my opinion, sin is a human thing. But disobedience and pride is obviously rooted in the angels. And so Lucifer did fall and then wanted dominion, and God gave him permission to have some sort of deception over the earth. But I don't know if necessarily we would consider him the first sinner because he's not human. That would be my like just initial thought on that.
And see, it doesn't actually say so, right? So this is just opinionated thing. And this is where, when you hear stuff like this, read and, you know, make your own analogy of what you think. See, I think sin started with Satan, because what was his sin? Pride. That right there is one of our biggest sins that we have to overcome to have that relationship with Jesus. And it started right there.
Yeah. And I think too, like, Jeremy makes a good point. Was Adam the second sinner? Well, if you go back to our episode, we talked about federal headship, and Adam was over Eve. And so because they were one body, one flesh, you know, what Adam would do or what Eve would do, Adam would do, vice versa. And so I think it's kind of a joint sin. It's not like, I don't think individualism existed in the garden in the sense that, like, well, how we would say, like, every individual for themselves. It was a collective society, you know, those first two. So that would have been Adam and Eve accountable for the same sin. Now, if Adam had looked at her and said, hey, no woman, you know, then it would have been her fault. But he didn't.
He did. So.
Gracie's outnumbered here. So.
Outnumbered 3-1.
Hey, Jesus called people woman. So, and that was a good thing. So he just said woman. So that's,
I
know,
you know.
And
the tone.
You think Jesus was going around saying, hey, woman? No. You think he was?
No, I mean, he was very kind to the woman at the well, you know. But
and his mother, he used it with his mother also. It was, he used it out of respect, honor, things like
that. I was just using it as a joke. But,
right, I know, but I was trying to help Gracie here.
Yeah, that's there we go. Trying to feed her into that. So, well, any other thoughts that you guys wanted to share about this series, or anything that you guys feel like you would encourage other people to look into? Maybe if they weren't here, right? What would their study of covenant look like?
I just feel like for everybody else, this is one of the most important series that we have covered in general, because no matter what, the covenants are there and you're always going to be in a covenant no matter where you're at. So I just think that reading the Bible, you should get to know all, what was it, 6 of the covenants. Mm-hmm. You need to know when and where they take place. You don't exactly need to know, you know, like the high holy places that they occurred.
That was a school thought.
Yeah. But you need to know that they happened. You need to know that they're real and who they were between. I feel like that's just really important. But also, Mr. Brian had a really good thought over there. And it was, you need to read the Bible yourself and get your own interpretation, because you want to read your own Bible, not somebody else's, and just have their thoughts in your head. You want to have your own interpretation of your own Bible.
Yeah, one of my friends is a podcaster. His name is Michael Moore, and he runs a podcast called Honest Youth Pastor. And in that, he evaluates a lot of like sermons, and that's kind of what he's gotten popular for. But he always says, grab your Bible, make sure you're reading the scripture that they're reading, and make sure you come up with, you know, you can see maybe where their line of thought is coming from. So that's a good point, Jeremy, you know, that you want to use the Holy Spirit, especially if you're a Christian, and be able to read scripture by your strength and your ability, because the Lord has gifted you to do that. So good point.
All right, Gracie, I guess you're up next. What's your takeaway from this whole series?
I am less of a takeaway, more of a statement. I just think it's interesting as a whole to just see, because I'm a big history. Give me the background. Show me all the little tidbits that you probably wouldn't get from the surface. So then to like get all the specifics behind everything was just a really neat thing to see. And then to see how they played out and how it just continued moving forward was just something really neat to me. Now, the specifics probably aren't for everybody, but to just know all of it and have that as a point of reassurance is a good thing to have and to know.
So Gracie would say the Bible isn't boring, right?
I think likes to read law.
I like to read.
Well, and I think that helps. You've got to know their history. You've got to know what was going on in that time and place, because you would be lost on a lot of this stuff.
It gives you context to things. It's like you read something and you're like, this is weird for now. But then you think back to like what was going on to the people, where they were, and it makes everything make a lot more sense.
Especially with like Abraham. You know, when he walked through God
sacrificing his son.
Yeah.
Almost. Yeah.
I mean, stuff like that. Or you go to I'm trying to grasp some of the others, but
Moses and
then
having to drink the gold calf.
Right. Yeah. You know, and couldn't even touch the base of the mountain. Yeah. You know, that type, how holy God is. I mean, it's just
remove your shoes because this is holy ground.
Yeah. So, and then God walking through the pieces, yeah. You know, that if you didn't know that history back then, you wouldn't know how severe that really was.
Yeah. What they were making the promise of. So,
right.
Yeah, absolutely.
You just think it's a really odd practice of like,
yeah. Why did he, why did God
split animals on the ground? What are we doing?
Yeah. Why did God kill a cow? Like, come on, dude, what are we doing? You know?
So it just brings it into context to be able to help understand what the true meaning was supposed to be. Yeah,
absolutely. Well, any other thoughts before we wrap up?
Well, the only other thing that comes to my mind is that blood pact with the Lord, and how he didn't make, who was that, the Davidic one? Which covenant was that?
That would have been Abraham.
That was the Abraham covenant. But how he didn't make Abraham, like, what was that final step?
Like slice his hand. Yeah. How he was how it was what we would call unilateral, being that it was one party, right? And so
because the Lord knew that he wouldn't mess up on his end, and he didn't want to have Abraham, you know, mess up on his end and, you know, have to take his life or however it went back then.
Yeah, absolutely. That he knew that Abraham's unfaithfulness could have led him to obviously needing to take, you know, give his life. And so God just was like, hey, I'm not unfaithful, and I'm going to give my life if I were unfaithful. And he wasn't. Gracie, do you have something?
I was just thinking for the thing of like the whole blood stuff. There was some sort of bloodshed in almost every single one of them. If I'm thinking through all of them.
Not the first one.
The first one led to then
death, yeah. Pain and labor and all of that. I mean, that would be bloodshed.
What about the sacrifice? There was bloodshed.
Because yeah, because they had God to clothe
them. So
he,
yes,
he had blood to kill was. An animal. You're right. Yeah, that's a good point.
You hit Moses and like.
Yeah, there's sacrifices as a part of the Levitical laws, yeah. Right?
Noah, like all the people that.
Mm-hmm. And animals.
Yeah, animals as well.
And what did Noah do when he came out of the ark? Because it says he sacrificed, and it was a pleasing aroma unto the Lord.
There you go.
Yeah. He has a sense so of smell. Then
David, Jesus.
Yeah. David also, we see, if you were to read into 2 Samuel, you would see other places where he sacrifices a lamb unto the Lord, right? For Passover and all of that. So, yes. And then Jesus, like you said, is a good point.
And then Abraham, the ram.
And Isaac. Yeah. Well, he didn't actually kill Isaac, but yeah.
He was
going. Yeah, he was getting real close.
There was a possibility.
he was willing to.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he was just trying to be faithful, right? So right. That's a really good point, Gracie, that bloodshed is a part of this, although that was not how it was meant to be, right?
It was never the intention. It was like with the blood of the first, it just kind of followed for the rest.
Snowball effect.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a really bad snowball.
Well, I love that you guys have thought through this and, you know, that you guys got some takeaways from this series. I hope that that is not just meant and solitude secluded to you two. I hope others did as well. So,
I think they did. A lot of curiosity and stuff like this and everything. And I think it helps young people especially to maybe dive a little bit deeper and read about this stuff, you know.
Well, that's what we have time for. Thanks, Gracie and Jeremy, for being here. And thanks for hopping on the Halfway There podcast with Brian and I. We'll catch you on... Actually, we'll have two episodes this week. So this one will come out probably a little bit before the next one. And we'll look forward to seeing you guys on the next episode. Thus, thanks, Jeremy and Gracie.
Thank you for having us on. Yeah.